are now joined by two-time NASCAR Cup Series champion Joey Logano, driver of the number 22 Team Penske Ford. We'll go straight to questions. We'll go to Jerry and then Zach.
Jerry Jordan kicking the tires at net. I'll follow up on my statement. There was never a doubt in your mind. What was it like during the race? You pretty much dominated.
Yeah, I mean, we had a good car, and I told the guys after we put it on the pin the other day, I said, well, we got them down, now we put our foot on them, right? And that's the attitude you got to have, right? It's just what it is when it comes to this level. Your feelings are checked at the door, and then it's all about winning and nothing less than that. And so when you get this far, I said it all week, we weren't satisfied with being in the championship four. There's nothing to celebrate for us. We've been here before. We know what it feels like to lose. And it's the worst feeling in the world, if I'm being honest. And winning is the best feeling in the world. So it's great to be able to accomplish it. I said that this is revenge for 2020. It certainly was something that's going to stick with me for a while. So just super proud of this race team, super proud of everybody on it. Not just the 22 team, but everybody that puts a bunch of effort into this, right? You think of everyone at Team Penske, everybody at Roush Yates, everyone at Shell and Penzel, at Ford, everybody that really supports us, and not just them, but their families, right? You guys know how it is. You're gone and you're on the road all year long. It's a grind, right? And if you have kids, your spouse is pretty much raising your kids alone. It's hard, and it's not just for me that way. It's everybody that's on this whole series all year long. So in hopes that you win a championship. I found out in 2018, I say it all the time, I found out in 2018 that how big the team really is. And I carry that weight with me now, knowing how big it is and the impact it makes on their families. So a lot more gifts under the Christmas tree now. So I'm excited about this.
I'm going to go to Zach, Jenna, and then Dustin Long.
Zach Sterniello, NASCAR.com. Joey, first of all, congratulations. But also, you're now a two-time champion. There's only one other active multi-time champion. What's the significance of having a second now and chasing more?
It's great. I guess I haven't really put much thought into it yet. It's awesome to hear it. I guess degree to me feels like I should have four or five at the moment. So I guess the feeling is it's about time, but that's just how I am and how I work, I guess. But this one's special for a lot of reasons. And one thing that I think probably stands out the most to me is just the way Paul did it. And we all did it together, all the way through. And I feel like that's probably one of the most special things. When we won in Vegas, we sat down Monday and started coming up with a meeting agenda, a bunch of meeting agendas that we can go over and reviewing film together as a team, going pit stops, reviewing rolling times on pit road, and just all these little subcategories that happen, and just making sure the details are all in the right place. That was the difference maker. We knew we'd have a fast race car. We would make those decisions, and we knew we'd be close because we had plenty of time to really go through all that, and we weren't bad here in the spring. But we knew details were going to be the difference of winning and losing. And we had the advantage, those 2.5 weeks to really work together and do that. And it's a grind. I'm telling you right now, it's a grind the last 2.5 weeks of just, this is all we thought about. And there's really, you put everything else, any other distraction gets put to the side. And it's tough for everybody. It's tough for everyone's families. Which you have to, right? You can't waste the opportunity that's here in front of us. And all the way through the weekend, right, when it came to practice and, right before qualifying, we were in Paul's bus at 6 o'clock in the morning going through things. That's what we all did as a group together. We were in there this morning at 7 o'clock going over stuff to make sure we're prepared for today. We made sure that there was no stone unturned when it came to preparing for this race. And when you saw how confident I was and my team was, it's because we were truly ready. And you can't fake confidence. I mean, you can maybe show it a little bit, but truly deep down inside, you have to believe that if you're going to be ready for this battle ahead of you. And I've never felt more ready. And a lot of credit goes to Paul for taking the time and the effort of, and forcing us to do it together as a team, right? There's plenty of crew chiefs are up that early. I get it, but they're not doing it together with their whole team. And I think that's a difference maker for us.
I wanted to follow up as well on a more somber note. I know that you were close with the JGR family prior to 2013, given the tragedy earlier today. What were your emotions when you found out?
Yeah, I mean, I found out before the race, and I still honestly don't know the details of anything. and, you know, it's an interesting spot, you know, as you sit there preparing to run a championship race, and then you hear somebody that has been in your life, right, and you know, known for a while, and I still don't know the details, but it's just sad. I don't have words to explain how that is, and I feel for Ty more than anything, right? I mean, you take all the championship racing stuff out, it doesn't matter at the end of the day, right? I mean, it's great that we're up here, we won a championship, but you know, if something happens to your family, it doesn't matter, right? Like, that's the difference. And you know, for the whole sport, it's a sad day. You know, and for me, it's a bittersweet type of thing, right? Because it's here we are winning a championship, and here we are one of the people that's a leader in our sport. You know, and someone I've known for a while is gone, and I don't really know how to explain that and how hard that is. And obviously, our prayers and thoughts go to the Gibbs family and everyone over at JGR, and you think they've had a rough run at it. Yeah, I couldn't imagine, you know, how Joe feels right now. Yeah, I don't really know what else to say. It's just, that's hard. I couldn't imagine. I don't know what it's like, but you know, for Ty to lose his dad, I mean, that's, it's just hard.
We'll go to Jenna Dustin Long, and then we'll check in upstairs in the press box.
Jenna Fryer, AP. Congratulations, Joey. Roger was in here. He said that when Brad was leaving, he told you that, like, you're now the veteran. You're in charge. You got to step up. What did you do to meet that request of his?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say it was just me. You know, it's stepping up. I feel like Blaney stepped up a lot, and Austin is a good leader right off the bat too. And with this next gen car, you know, yes, my experience is valuable because I've been around a long time and I know how things work and I know the sport works and those type of things. That's all well and good, but I had to unlearn a lot of things when it came to the race car itself. So, you know, I feel like I'm not the type of leader that wants to be on a pedestal above everybody and say, hey, I've been here the longest, listen to me. Like, I don't, that's not how I do it. It's not how Paul does it. It's not what I think is best. I feel like the best way a lot of times is to really get everyone's opinion and gather it and form your own opinion. And if it's something you feel truly strong about, you fight for it. Right. And then as a team, that's what I want. I want my teammates as drivers to voice their opinions and put something together. And when we feel like something's right, we form one voice together. And same thing all the way through it, from TC all the way down. That's what we want as a race team. You know, and that means there's hard conversations. You just have to have them. That's good to have. And, you know, as a leader together, that's okay with me. I'm fine with the tough conversation. I love tough conversations. They're better. If you ask me, it's what you always need. That's where growth comes from. It doesn't come from shoving things underneath the rug. So this is great. And that's what, I mean, this is where the hard conversations happen, right? When they come to championships at the end of the day. And when you think of what Penske was able to do this year as a team, win an IndyCar championship and a Cup championship, the same year, never been done before. That's a really special thing. So, I don't know what they have planned for this one, but I'm sure it's going to be a fun off season for us. Thanks.
We'll go to Dustin Long to the press box, and then we'll go to Dustin Albina.
Dustin Long, NBC Sports. Joey's your reference. On a day that Ty loses his father, your son got to walk with you to go get the checkered flag, get in the car, do donuts, ride to victory lane, and be a part of this celebration. what does it mean to be able to do that with your son, and the perspective that it happens on a day like this with fathers and sons?
It just goes to prove that you got to cherish every moment in life. You don't know when the next one happens, right? You don't know when your number's called. You just don't. And you know, it's we always say God has a plan, and I agree with that, but it doesn't make it easier, right? And so it's definitely, it's challenging for a lot. And for me, you know, having Hudson with me, and we left Jameson and Amelia at home just because this time change was that we tried to make this happen. We really did. Knowing that we won a few weeks ago, we tried to put him on West Coast time. Turns out Jameson wakes up at 5 a.m. no matter what time you put him to sleep. You can put him at 10 or 6:30. He wakes up at 5 a.m. And he's a machine. So we said, you know what? You're staying home, bud. Love you. But Hudson can sleep in a little bit, so that's good. And so we brought him along. And honestly, ever since Kevin took Keelan in Michigan for a ride in a car, I said, I want to do that. Like, I always wanted to do that just because, I don't know, it's cool. Like, my Hudson and I, like, I mean, he's my oldest, so we have a connection there, and he's four. Like, you know, two-year-olds, it's a little harder to get there as they get older. You know, you get to a point where you see their interests and stuff. And Huddy, you know, every night before he goes to bed, he wants to talk about race cars, and he wants to talk about his go-kart in the backyard. And we have a connection of you know, shoot, we read car magazines. That's his bedtime story. He wants to go through classic car magazines, and so he's into it. We kind of share it. He's just a little me. You know, I see so much of me in him. It's kind of funny. And like I said, I always dreamed of winning with him here because I always wanted to take him for a ride. You know, we go for rides and hot rods all the time together, and it's definitely not the first donuts we've done together. But the first time in a race car, well, not just, but on the racetrack. It's the first time on a racetrack we got to do donuts together. And that's just cool to see him running up there and grabbing the checkered flag. I mean, that's it's hard to explain, right? If you have kids, you understand the love that you have for them. It's truly unconditional love. And to see him smile and celebrate a moment together is just, it's truly the most awesome feeling. And the fact that, like, we can talk about it, right? The first time we won it, you know, he's like 9 months old, you know, which way was up, barely hold his head up. So, now to see him running up there and grabbing the flag and going for a ride with me, couldn't pick a better race to do that for the first time.
When you were doing the donuts, I'm sure you looked over at him. So what did you see? What was his face reaction? And did it look that much more different than any of the other donuts? Or what, you know, as a father, what was it like to do that with your son? And what did you see out of his face?
Well, the race cars are a little louder than our Fox body at home. So that's his favorite car. We have a 91 Fox body Mustang, and he loves that. He loves that car. And so, but that one's got a big old supercharged motor in it, and it does some great donuts, and that's good. And the exhaust comes out the back, and it's not that loud. Everything's okay. It is loud, but it comes out the back. It's okay, and the windows are up. I said, this thing's a little louder, and the exhaust is right there. I'm like, hold your ears, hang on, you know. And so we did some gentle donuts together, you know. And he's so funny because, you know, he's so quiet. And then when you get him home, and especially before bedtime when he's trying to stay awake for an extra 30 minutes, that's when he becomes the most talkative. And that's the same as I was, right? I know I'm long-winded tonight, but I was a shy little kid that was always had my head in my dad's leg all the time when I was around people, and same thing with him. Thanks.
Going to go upstairs to the press box.
Chris Knight, CatchLines.com. Joey, congratulations on the championship. It's been since 1968 and 1969 since Ford has had a two-time Cup Series championship under their brand. I was just wondering what that means to you to bring that back to their wheelhouse.
Yeah, it's like I said, this championship, it takes an army, and it's everybody, and Ford is a big player in this and how we all work together. And like I said, it takes a lot, and Ford's engineers and the design process of designing this next gen body and and all the things that go along with that. It's been a grueling, couple of years for them, and making sure they do it correctly and to where we can go out there and compete for a championship. That's what the hopes are for. And, they brought a great Mustang for us, and, to be able to say we won a couple championships together, driving a Ford. Yeah, I take pride in that. Absolutely. And we did it together. And so it means so much to me sitting here today. The relationships that you make over the years in the sport, they mean so much, right? With you guys, or with your team members or with your sponsors, you care about everybody. And, it's a special group that we all are. And to have a sponsor, it was Shell and Pennzoil that, has been with me over the last 10 years and for many years to come, and Ford with Roger and everyone at Team Penske. I mean, I take a lot of pride in that because it means you have to do it correctly, right? And the short-term deals don't work out for many reasons. And when you can make them work for a long time, it means you're doing business correctly. And you're treating people fair, and that's what it's about. It's all about a fair deal, and I feel like everyone's treated fairly, and that's why everyone's happy, and that's why we can win races together.
Do we have anything additional in the press box?
No questions.
Thank you. We'll go to Dustin Albino and then to Jonathan.
Dustin Albino, J-Ski Joe, I know you had your moment with your son in the car, but how do you celebrate a second Cup championship, and is it different from the first?
I mean, it feels a little different. If I'm being honest, it definitely feels a little different. But it still feels really special. I mean, what I remember of the first championship was, the moment when you get out of the car and you see everybody for the first time. That's the most special moment of the whole thing. And I knew it was going to be this time. Like, last time it was a surprise. I didn't know, now, like, seeing your team, seeing your wife, your kids, your mom, your dad, like, just all that stuff, like, for the first time and celebrating together and really taking a moment to really enjoy that even more so than we did last time. I was conscious about that because it's the best moment. The first 10 minutes is the best. There's just nothing like it, and it's so hard to achieve it, and you just hope to have that feeling again. And so, yeah, it took my time, and I'm glad I did. And because it's, like I said, it's just so tough to do. Thanks.
I'm going to go to Jonathan and then Tom.
Jonathan Field, the racing experts. Joey, you came into the Cup Series as, young rookie in 2009, looking for a Cup championship. Now you're a multi-time champion, a father. How's your outlook on life and winning a championship changed and evolved over time?
I mean, just like everybody else, I'm no different than anybody else. As you get older, your perspective on life changes, right? When you're a kid, you take all the risk with no consequences. You don't think twice about anything. As you get older, you start to, realize that what really matters in life and taking, everything a lot more serious, in everything you do, and more just intentional about everything you do and why you do it and the things you say. And, because, listen, they're watching me, right? Kids are watching me now. And, I make sure that I'm going to have to talk with Hudson and Jameson and Amelia one day about, dad screwed up a lot, and it's all on TV now. And when you're going through YouTube, don't do that, okay? that's not the right way to do it. But I think being honest with them is important. But it is, something that it's as you get older, you start to just think through things differently, and you become better. I feel like I've never been a better race car driver than I am today. I've never been more committed about it, even with more, I don't want to call it distractions, but more things going on in my life. I've never had more going on in my life than I do right now, with three crazy kids at home and other businesses and just this stuff, right? And to be able to juggle all that and prioritize all that has been the difference for me. And I honestly feel like all of it's made me a better person altogether. Long ways to go, though. I'm not there yet. I can promise you that.
We go to Tom, and then we have a couple questions over on this side.
Tom Bowles, Front Stretch and CBS. Perfect follow-up to what Jonathan was talking about. Like, the big takeaway from this week has been your confidence, right? Not just your inner confidence, but the way that you've, you know, had this outward confidence this whole week where you felt like you've never wavered. And what has this evolution with that outward confidence been like for you? What was it about this week that kind of spurred that in you? I mean, you said you didn't want to play any mind games, but you really came out and said, hey, we're going to win this, and you were really consistent over the course of the last week.
It wasn't meant to be mind games. You just asked me how I felt, and I was honest. And I really felt like we were in a spot to win this thing. And I truly believe that attitudes are contagious, good or bad. And when you're able to bring that attitude to a race team in a moment like this, as a driver there, that just carries through it. And I believe confident people win. Right, I mean, if you don't believe in yourself, who else is ever going to believe in you? How are you ever going to win? But I also think you can't fake that. you know, I think in my first Championship Four appearance, was I confident? No, I was a nervous wreck. And are the nerves still there? Yeah, the nerves are still there. You don't want to screw it up, right? Because you got it this far. But I truly felt ready as a driver, and I felt like as a race team, we went through everything we can possibly go through. At that point, the confidence is real. We've been here before. We knew how to do things. We knew how to prepare. We went out and just did our job. We put it on the pin, and then we won the race. Like, that was the job at hand, and we nailed it. So, like I said, I couldn't be more proud of everybody doing that together. But, you know, we knew we were going to do it. Like, that was where we were at. We had the time to think about it and go through things, and we felt truly ready. And that's a great feeling going into a battle like this.
We have two questions over here on the right we're going to go to, and then we're going to go to Michelle.
Joseph Igo, Cronkite News. Joey, stage two is a little interesting there with the fuel mileage, obviously. Just kind of take me through the car and what was going through your mind as, who knows if you saved enough fuel or not.
Yeah, I was going off the information that they were telling me over the radio of have we saved enough or where we're at. And, you know, these days with SMT and stuff, they can see what I'm doing inside the car, right? So they can see how much I'm lifting or shifting or not shifting or short shifting, whatever I was doing in there. and so they have a better way of calculating it, better than the old days, because they can. It's not just, hey, I'm lifting, I don't know, 100 feet or so, I don't know, like something like that. I'm going really fast. As 100 feet goes by really quick. I don't know. Like, it's hard to say sometimes, you know, but they can now see, like, where I'm actually lifting on the racetrack. So, you know, just did what they told me to do. I wanted to stay in front of the 19 just for track position purposes. I wanted to make sure that we gave ourselves our best foot forward when it came to the next pit stop. So, yeah, nothing too crazy throughout it.
We have one more over here on the far right we're going to get to right now, and then we'll go to Michelle and then Justin.
Hey, Joey. So in 2018, when you won your first championship, you welcomed your son, Hudson, and then you went on to win a championship and go through the whole motions of that year. Now this year, right after the class, you and your wife give birth again, and once again, you go through the whole motions of winning another championship. What is that like, having to go through an entire season when you have infants at home, and then maybe, you know, could they be good luck charms knowing that you've won championships both seasons that you've welcomed new children?
It says that my hot-ass wife is a true badass. That's what it says. My badass wife is what I should call her. My hot badass wife. How's that sound? Yeah, I mean, it takes, like, it's hard at home right now. there's a lot of sleepless nights at times, and shoot, I get to sleep at the racetrack, so it's not as bad for me or as hard for me, but I don't know if it's a good luck thing or what it is, but it's interesting that the years that we feel like we're juggling the most and going through a transition at home have been successful years. Even 2020, we made the Championship Four. And like I said, I always feel like that race is the one that got robbed from us. We were in position to do everything correctly, and something not of our own doing cost us to win. So I don't know what that is. I joked to Brittany, I said, if we win, we might have to have another kid. But I don't think so. I don't think so. We might not do that. I think we're good with three.
All right, we're going to go to Michelle and then Justin and Adam.
Joey, a little earlier you said you told your kids that the ones that are home that you'd be home soon, but first we're going to party a little bit. What do you envision that looking like tonight, this week, before you get home?
Yeah, I don't know, actually. You know, it's a lot going through here. I know I'm going to L.A., so I guess I'm not going home anytime soon. I actually don't know to schedule it off, I'm being honest. I don't know. I know I'm going to L.A. I don't know when I get to go back home. So I don't know. I know there's something we're doing tonight. I don't know where that – I don't know. I'm here right now, and at some point I'm going to get the sticky suit off. There's champagne all over it, and we'll go from there. I have no idea. I think there's still some pictures. I think I'm here for probably another couple hours before I
– Yep, before a couple I see, of hours.
Yeah, I think I asked you, like, how much longer are we here? Yeah, okay, all right. At some point, we're going to party. I don't know when that is yet or where. Somebody has it figured out. I shouldn't be the person that ever leads a party, I can tell you that much. I'm, like, the worst at partying, so that might be a good thing. This isn't as entertaining as Ben was last year, so I'm sorry.
All right, go ahead, Justin.
Greg wants to go to Chuck E. Cheese, apparently. All right.
It's kind of weird. Kind of creepy, man. That's what makes it creepy. Anyway, sorry. I'm sorry. I'm just joking with you.
Oh, I got to pick on Greg there a little. Justin Schuller kicking the tires. Joey, congratulations, obviously. But it's not just your second championship. You just brought Paul Wolf his second championship. I don't think anybody would have thought it would have taken this long for Paul to get his second. So how does that feel for you as a driver working with Paul and getting him that second championship?
I'm just happy for him. Paul wants it bad. And like I said, the way he was preparing, what he was doing, like, he put a lot on him over the last few weeks. And I don't know how he handles his pressure, right? Everyone kind of has their own way in what they do. And, you know, I'm able to shut off when I go home. And, you know, Paul's a lot quieter person than I am. And, you know, if I get him to smile or cheer a little bit, I feel like I've really done something. So, you know, I feel like he holds a lot of things inside, with him where I vent everything. It's been a tough few weeks for Paul and his family. Like I said, it's hard and it's the commitment that he put in the last couple weeks. I know his family sacrificed dad time and husband time, to do this. And so obviously I greatly appreciate that. And that's why I'm so happy for him, is because it takes a lot to do it. And hey, here we are. So, I know how bad he wanted it. Once you win one of these things, you just want to win another one even worse. And, you know, he's been close, you know, a few times since he won with Brad. So to bring that home with him is special.
I'm going to go to Adam on the far left and then to Nate.
Hey, Joey. Adam Carabine from RacingRefresh.com. A lot is being made about your confidence this week, but I remember actually before the Vegas playoff race, you were telling us that you're favorited every week. And so it seems like you've had quite a bit of confidence all season long. Now, unfortunately, you haven't won 36 races this year. I was just curious about kind of what sort of strategies you use to build your confidence back up after weeks when things maybe don't go the right way.
That's a great question, and it is. I mean, as an athlete, you have to mentally be strong. That's the difference with I think an athlete from others, is that, you know, they're able to control their mind in high pressure moments, right? And you only learn that over time, your own way. You can't be somebody else. Like, I can't be the next Jimmy Johnson or whoever, right? Like, I could only be the best Joey. And there's times that, you know, I'm so mad at myself from a mistake and I make them. But you also got to look at mistakes as an opportunity to learn. And without taking risks to make mistakes, you don't grow. And that to me has always been like, kind of, okay, I made a mistake. I'm stronger now. I'm smarter now. I learned from it. It's over. I'm the best. Now I have another reason to be better, right? Like, now I know I'm the best, right? Because I made that mistake. I'm not that bad anymore, so now I got to be better, right? And it's just a bit of it is preaching to yourself, right? I mean, a bit of it is using these moments when you're talking to the media is that you're kind of preaching to yourself throughout it a little bit. You know, I always feel like media day is the day that mentally I click, like I'm in. Like, that's kind of my motivational moment. So I learned to love media days for that reason. Because you really believe the things you're saying, right? And you're actually thinking about that stuff and outside of just the race car details. And so I always feel like that's a moment where I click on.
I'll go to Nate and then Luis.
Nate Ryan, NBC Sports. So speaking of media day, Joey, I was in the interview room for NBC, and I watched all four of you guys come through, and it was abundantly obvious, like, demeanor, you know, body language, what you said, like, you were the overwhelming favorite. I mean, no one was more comfortable that day than you. I know we joke about the 32-year-old being, like, the old man of the group here, but did you feel like that was an edge going in? Did you sense, like, hey, I've got the experience, even though Elliott's won a championship, it just felt like you really kind of embraced that. And I'm wondering, like, are you kind of embracing that a little bit more, being a veteran, even though you're still so young? You've been around so long.
Yeah, but you try to find any advantage you can. And if experience is that, yeah, I would take that. That's a good thing. And, yeah, I mean, I don't really know how to answer it, but I guess, yeah, in a way, like, you look at your competitors and, you know, you try to figure out, okay, where's their weaknesses? And, you know, I look at a lot of them was their first time here. I thought some of them were happy to be here. And, you know, when I looked at our team, we weren't in that position. And that made us different. And I think that was something that set us apart. And, you know, I thought these guys are happy to be here. And they're trying to minimize the situation and saying that it's just another race. And at that point, I really felt like we were in a great spot. Because I've been here long enough to know it's not another race. It's and you can't minimize the situation. It's this big. It is huge. And it hurts extra big when you lose. And it feels extra good when you win. It's nothing like it. And I always felt like minimizing it just helps you sleep better at night. But that's not the real way to do it. And I feel like it was just fake. And so it's not the way I planned on it the whole year. I love making situations bigger than what they are, even bigger, because that pressure to me makes me better. You know, is it uncomforting? Yeah. Is it easier for me to think in the way that, you know, that to minimize a situation to feel better about it? Yeah, it definitely makes me more comfortable. I mean, I can tell you, I felt like I had a 10,000-pound gorilla on my shoulders, right? Like, it's tough. Like, I felt the pressure. Don't get me wrong, but you got to learn to love it, because it's right around the corner of having a moment like this.
We're gonna go to Luis and then up to Jeff.
Luis Torres, the podium finish. It's been said all season long how people and drivers felt about their car. You won the class, and now you end the season as the champion, the first one of this current car. How would you look back at this season, knowing all the challenges that came with it?
Yeah, I think everyone could probably agree it's the most challenging year and unexpected year from a lot of ways, right? So many different winners, for one. Seeing that, I didn't see that one coming. You know, the lack of consistency throughout the field. Hard to really click off a bunch of top fives and a bunch of wins, and the teams that were strong weren't strong for super long before someone else had figured something out. You know, so and just the unexpected pieces that come along with it, whether it's the pit stops, the strategy, the way the races play out. I mean, boy, it this year was an adventure to say it the least amount. I mean, just to think about how many things have changed from Phoenix in the spring to now. Boy, I mean, we're so much smarter with this race car now. It's just kind of crazy to think about it all. So, yeah, it was a tough grind of a year. And a lot of times you just felt lost, a lot of times. And, you know, the only thing that helped me is I realized that everyone else was lost with me. So that's one way to stay confident is when you know everyone else is lost too.
And being you being from Connecticut, and obviously you ran around Georgia, what would be one message you would tell to those young aspiring competitors, especially from the New England area, that wants to do this?
Yeah, I mean, it's neat to think about, you know, where I came from. It's Silver City Quarter Midget Club in Meriden, Connecticut, and you know, getting to go up there earlier this year, they had the grands there, and to see all the kids there, and just the memories come rushing back, right, of everything that was there, and the fun that, you know, it was, right, racing with your, you know, I was out there with my dad and just having a good time. There's nothing like it, and you probably don't appreciate it enough when you're a kid, and so I always try to tell the kids that you should never take for granted the moment that you get to drive a car at its absolute limit, because you don't know how long you get to do that, and that's special. And I always tell the parents that make sure it's fun at that level, because that's what it's about. It's about having fun and competing as a kid, and you don't have to add all the pressure and make it a job, right? And that's one thing I always think about with kids racing these days. It's take it too serious. You're going to have your whole life to make it serious. At this level, it's a job, right? And the only thing that's fun is when you win, and that's just what it is. And so there's nothing like those moments. You know, and the dreams that you have, right? This was my dream. I'm sitting here living my dream. How awesome is that, right? Like, you think about it, like, I wanted to be a cup champion, and it sounded kind of funny when I went to school in Connecticut and no one else raced in class, right? And it's just me, and I brought trophies to show and tell, and they're like, what the heck are you doing with a quarter midget? What does that even mean? And you know, I had that dream. Maybe I was the odd one in the class, but this was it. I loved cars. I loved racing, and I loved winning. And I just kept, you know, chasing my dream with all great people around me and teaching me and learning lessons and a lot of commitment from my family. And look at us now. Kind of neat.
We're going to come up here to Jeff to wrap up.
Just wanted to ask you about your leadership in the sport. I mean, it seems like you've really, especially the last couple of years, taken a proactive stance on trying to be a voice within the drivers group, and within NASCAR, you're going on Sirius every week for your time. How do you see that evolving for you now? You know, you have at least used to feel like the champion has a bigger platform. I don't know if like Larson Elliott wanted to use it as much, but you have that sort of now for yourself. How do you intend to go with that?
I have a few thoughts in mind. I don't know if I should share them quite yet, but it is something I think about to that point, that, you know, that you think of being a champion of sport, you're representing the sport. And that's a huge task at hand. I don't take it lightly, and I want to make the most of it, because I care about us, all of us, right? This is all of our livelihoods, and it's our job to make it better than it was the last generation. To me, like, that's, I think of the guys that raced before us, and to think about what they grew our sport into. You know, it wasn't from just driving in circles all day long and ending in the same place, right? Like, that it's pretty pointless when you think of it that way. But when you can really grow an industry together, and have a part of that, right? Like, I don't work for NASCAR, but I have a voice, and you know, I have opinions, and I care about, you know, whether it's the media or the fan experience or the drivers, making sure that, you know, things are safe, and working together with that group, you know, the integrity of competition out there. Those are things I think about. This is important, right? We got to hold true to what put us here, but also not be, you know, too scared to grow and try new things. And when I think of our sport right now, you know, we're definitely trying new things, new car, new tracks. And you look at the Clash and how big of a success that was. You know, you think of, if, you know, shoot, it's been a long time since we had this championship format. Well, boy, has it brought some drama, right? And people tune in and watch it, because just crazy things happen. You can't ever call the playoffs now, right? And that's because a group got together and came up with this awesome system. This stressful system, right? So there's a lot of things that you do. You get to sit on the board of the the Hall of Fame induction group that helps vote and persuade people on who should be in next year. Look forward to that more this time now that I know what's going on there and how it works. And yeah, there's a few people in my mind that I think deserve to be in there. I plan to voice my opinion on that when I get there. So yeah, I think of things like that, I have the opportunity to take advantage of, and I should. I've been here long enough. I've seen a lot of great things, and we've grown a lot together as a group. So we should celebrate that for one, but we should always keep looking for better.
All right, Joey. Well, congratulations on winning your second championship, and go enjoy the rest of the night.
Thank you, guys. Thank you. Safe travels home.